Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Whether we're Christians or not, one of the central things about Christmas is gifts, giving them and receiving them. And the Bible tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know about you, but I think for myself and in our culture, it's also easier to give than to receive. Most of us don't like receiving a gift, particularly if it's something that we didn't expect and we're not in a position to give one back. We've probably all been in this kind of scenario where someone gives you a gift and there's this awkward pause and you smile and you give effusive thanks. And then there's this kind of pause thinking, what happens next? And it's awkward. And you change the subject as fast as possible. And if you're me, you make a mental note that sometime around the end of November next year, you will show up on that person's doorstep with the largest gift imaginable, because we don't like to be receivers if we can't also give. Sometimes we feel a bit suspicious if someone gives us a large gift. There's no such thing as a free whatever it is, and we're looking for the catch. What is this gift going to cost me? What are the hidden consequences that I'm not sure about at the moment? It happened to me once a while ago, shortly after we had moved to our last house, around Christmas time. A neighbour whom I had rarely met showed up on my doorstep. To my embarrassment, I barely recognised the woman and I couldn't remember her name, but she had this lovely gift for me. And the amazing thing was she had found out some way, something that not a lot of people know about me. I like to collect old china, blue and white china, and she had found in a market this beautiful plate, which I still have on my dresser, and she gave it to me for Christmas. It was one of those horrible, embarrassing moments. I don't think I even had a card to give her back, so I thanked her. But it was a huge surprise, and perhaps the most surprising thing was how much I liked it. Someone who knew me better couldn't have got it nearly so right. It was an unsought and unexpected gift from someone I hardly knew, and I wasn't at all sure how to respond. Christians know that the centre of Christmas is the gift of Jesus. And the passage that was read for us in Matthew chapter 1 about Joseph accepting Jesus as his son gives the news of how that gift of the Son of God came to Joseph. If you've been here for evening services throughout December, you'll know that we've talked a lot about how that news came to Mary. This is how it came to Joseph, and it was sudden. He got the news from somewhere that Mary was pregnant. And then he had to decide how to react to that. But while he was deciding how to react, some more, even more unexpected news came. It was unexpected in the way it came. It came in a dream. All he'd done, minding his own business, was go to his bed that night. And suddenly he found himself having this vivid dream in which an angel from God was speaking to him. And what the angel said was even more unexpected. Not only was it unexpected that Mary was pregnant, he certainly didn't see that one coming, but he's now told that the child she is bearing is the Son of God. The news of the gift of Christ coming to Joseph upsets all his mental notions of how things are. It's unexpected, it's unsought, he has to rethink his biology, he has to rethink his relationships. It requires a comprehensive change of his mind. And Joseph has to decide how he's going to receive that gift. There's an obvious first reaction. Do it by the book. There are rules and regulations in Jewish society for this kind of thing. Joseph is a righteous man. He wants to be faithful to the law, and according to right thinking, he should divorce her. And that is what he plans to do. But the news from the angel in the dream means yet another change. Joseph has to realise that righteous now doesn't just mean obeying the letter of the law, not just doing the right thing in terms of obedience to a moral code, but being the right person in obedient response to the divine person of God. Joseph has to change all of his thinking. It would have been possible for him to turn all of this down. But the Bible tells us, and it doesn't go into any details, I'm frustrated, I would love to know more actually. It doesn't tell us any details, it just tells us that he accepts this sudden gift in faith and obedience. He couldn't know all that it would mean for him. He couldn't see the future. But he must have known that it would radically change his life. And on that basis, he goes ahead, accepts the gift of Christ as his earthly son, and takes on his responsibility to look after Mary. We know, as he didn't that night, that he was being called to a key supporting role in the drama of redemption. There's an old saying that says, the hardest role in any orchestra, the hardest place to fill, is second fiddle. None of us likes being second fiddle, do we? We always quite like to be the one in charge or the boss. And there's a saying, I don't mind being a servant, but woe betide anybody who treats me like one. Joseph accepted the place of second fiddle. He accepted the role in the drama of redemption that he would support his wife, who had the key role, that he would support this baby he had been given to bring up as his son, whose mission Joseph must have believed in by faith. But we don't believe that Joseph ever saw the fulfillment of Jesus' mission. There's a strong Christian tradition backed up by hints in the gospel that Joseph probably died long before Jesus was crucified, and perhaps even before his ministry started. Joseph believed in a future that our best guess suggests he never saw. But it's worthwhile pondering how important it was to have Joseph in Jesus' life. We can ponder those things, and we're in the realm of supposition. But I do wonder if Jesus' humility, which we read about in Philippians 2, that giving up the privileges, the place of heaven, to come down to the place of a servant, even the place of death on a cross, I do wonder if Jesus' humility was easier because of the example of his earthly dad, who was willing to be second fiddle and who was a humble man, willing to play his part in God's drama, even although it wasn't a leading part. And the gift of Christ is the same for us 2,000 years later. The invitation to accept him by faith, the invitation to allow God to lead us in ways that we may not foresee into a life that is shaped by faith in Christ. Things that we can't predict. I wonder what is our response to the gift. Some of us will first have received that gift of Christ as a child. Perhaps we were baptized as babies. We received the gift of Christ before we knew it, before we knew what to do with it, and before we knew whether we wanted it or not. And perhaps it was a while before we came to realize and accept what we'd been given. Some of us, like me, received the gift of faith quite deliberately. I made a decision when I was in my early teens that I was going to follow Jesus. I didn't quite know all of what that meant, but I've spent my life unpacking that gift. And I have found that the gift of Christ is a bit like those Russian dolls. You unpack one layer and you think you've got it. But then there's a deeper layer, and then there's another layer, and then there's more and more inside. And unpacking the gift of Christ means every time you think you've got him, you realize there is more. And he is the gift that keeps on and on giving. Some of us might have no memory of ever accepting anything. You came to church, maybe almost by accident. Some people come to church when their children start coming to Sunday school. Something took root and has grown. And it's only as you look back that you realise that gift has shaped your life. And some folk who come to church, particularly at Christmas, come because they're still looking, still wondering. It's almost as if at this time of year they take another chance to prod the package and say, what's this about? And maybe there's a fear of accepting faith, a fear of accepting Christ. What am I going to be asked to give back? What's the cost? What's the bill under the plate? There's no such thing as a free gift. What might the consequences be? And yet at Christmas, for some of us, there's like a little tug on a string. There's still something there. And maybe this Christmas is the one where there's the courage to take the step of faith. An unexpected gift, an immense gift from a God who is beyond our knowledge. And yet a God who knows us and who invites us step by step into the future that he has for us, urging us to fashion our lives more and more closely around obedience to the claim of Christ, and to find our own role, usually quite a small role, in God's great drama of redemption here in Mulgay in 2018, nearly 2019. Perhaps this evening one question to leave with you to ponder as we close our service. What gift might you want from God for Christmas, now, today? Not a gift for someone who's more needy than you, not a gift for the world, not a gift for anyone else. There's a time and a place for that. But what about you? What gift might you ask God for tonight? And believe that something that only God can give you is something that he is willing to give.